Thank you, Brother Rick. The anchor does hold. We're going to talk about one of those places that it does hold and how people travel to that place as we look at Psalm 121 today. Psalm 121. I know for many folks, they might tell you that Psalm 23 is their favorite psalm. Psalm 121 is probably my favorite because of the image that it has here of this journey. So listen to these words from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This psalm is a psalm of journey. The psalm is a psalm of continuing on and going forward. This psalm doesn't just stop with coming and saying that I know God, but it continues on and it journeys further and further. This was one of those psalms that they would actually sing amongst themselves when they left town to go to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. They would sing it amongst themselves. They may sing it as they leave. They would sing it along the way. It's one of a great number of songs of ascent, of going up. Because when you're in Israel, Jerusalem is at one of the higher points in Israel. So as you're traveling towards, you're ascending and you're going up. And they would sing these songs because they didn't know what kind of journey was ahead of them. They would sing these songs because there really wasn't places to stay along the way. They would sing these songs because it kind of let, it's kind of like this. You go out hiking in the woods nowadays, sometimes you want to make sure you make a bunch of noise, don't you? It's nice to go along and be quiet and watch nature as you go along and see what's happening, but all of a sudden if you come upon a big section of nature all at once that has black fur, you know what I'm talking about? A big section of nature that has black fur, you might want to be making some noise so you scare that bear off before you get to him. You see, the people would sing because they did not know what might be on the roads ahead of them. And they wanted to hear all the voices, and they wanted to know, and they wanted people, the bandits, and whoever, robbers, and whoever might be hiding along the way, they wanted people to know that, hey, a big group's coming. Don't try to get us. We're traveling to Jerusalem. In one way, we've lost this idea of journey in our world today. We've lost this idea of journey. Especially when it comes to the church. And all we think about is, well, I came down the aisle. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was baptized. And I became a member of the church. And now I'm good to go. There's nothing left for me. I've done what needs to be done. You see, in our culture, for many in our culture, the faith is only that, accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, being baptized, and joining a church. You heard Janet talk about there are many in our society that have no desire to join a church, to be part of a church, to know about Jesus Christ. And you see, folks, that's only the beginning. That's only the first part. That is only the first part. I've told many people, when you read the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, it does not say, now I want you to listen carefully, because I know sometimes people don't hear me right. It does not say that we are to be about making converts. It says we're to be about making disciples. That's what it says, doesn't it? Now, I acknowledge you got to have a convert before you can have a disciple. But we don't stop at that process. And you see so many people in our society, once they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, once they walk down the aisle in a church, once they get baptized, and once they join that church as members, I've done what I need to do. That's not the ideas in Scripture. The idea in Scripture is so much more than this. This is just the beginning. The stories in the Bible contain so much more than this initial first step. And I'm so thankful that they do. Aren't you? We don't just meet Abraham where God says, oh, Abram, by the way, that was his name when God first spoke to him. Abram, I want you to pick up all your possessions, your family, everything that you have, and I want you to keep moving till I tell you to stop. Now, how many of you would be willing to move that way nowadays? I want you to keep moving until I tell you to stop. I want you to understand that he moved over 1,000 miles by foot with his whole family and all of his possessions before God said, stop here for a moment, is what God told him. Stop here for a moment. This land that you now stand in will be the land for all of your ancestors. But not for you. Keep moving. Boy, that would be tough, wouldn't it? That would be tough. There are so many journeys in the Bible. This past Wednesday night, we met Peter. Peter denying Jesus Christ 3 times. And I'm glad to tell you that when we get to chapter 21, Peter's journey continues. It doesn't stop with him denying Jesus Christ 3 times. Daniel's journey continues. David's journey doesn't stop at one place in the Bible. It continues. All of them continue. They're about journeys. They're about continuing on the way and going forward. It's not about, I've arrived, I'm already here. You know, that great question from the back seat. Are we there yet? That's the great question from the back seat, isn't it? We solved that question very simply when I bought my second GPS. Because one GPS went in the back seat. And I said, you look at the map and you tell me, are we there yet? And that stopped that question. But you see, as Americans, we think we need to get to our destination, and that's it. There's nothing. The journey's got to be over. How many of you want to travel for hours on end in a car? I don't meet many people. I do know somebody from the previous church. The guy could drive all day, every day, 24/7, and that's what makes him happy. Just to drive, to keep moving. And I meet very few people like that. We want to get somewhere, so we will push the accelerator down past where it's supposed to go, right? Let's be honest with ourselves. Because we want to get to the destination. And it's about the journey. It's about taking time on the journey. It's about learning along the way. Pilgrimage and the idea of a continuing spiritual journey fills the Scriptures and the lives of those who follow Jesus. Pilgrimage. I think about my ancestors. It was about pilgrimage. They couldn't find what they considered religious peace in England. And they left first and went to Amsterdam. And established a church there. And then they left there and came to this land. It was about a journey for them. It was about continuing forward. There are pilgrimages all around the world that many people take to holy places. I would love someday, and I think I'm past that point already, that I can. But I know there's a pilgrimage in Spain that's over 500 miles that people walk every year to try to learn more about themselves and their relationship with God. Pilgrimage, moving forward, continuing on a journey. This fills the scriptures. Did Jesus have a place to live? Oh, amen. They established the First Baptist Church of Israel, and Jesus stayed there as pastor forever. Amen? They had no church. They had no building. It was about journeying. Jesus says, I like where you're sitting. Stay right there, and let's join together to change this world. Is that what Jesus says? Jesus says, follow me. Move forward. Continue to go. This psalm shows that deep-seated belief in the spiritual journey. And God as a keeper of those who walk the journey. God as a keeper. The same Hebrew word appears over and over and over again in this scripture, and yet it's translated into English in many different words. God watches. God keeps. God doesn't let your foot slip. God's your shade by night and by day. God is a keeper and a watcher of those who go upon journey. Some of you may wonder, why does it say that God's a shade during the day and a shade during the night? What do we call people that don't have it quite right? We call them lunatics, don't we? Not that we know any of those folks, but we call them lunatics, don't we? You know where that comes from? That comes from being struck by the moonlight. That's how people in the old days believed that people became lunatics. It was the light that bounced off the moon and struck them, and they became moonstruck. Or they became lunatics. And one of the words for the moon is luna. Okay? I love, especially in this passage, that it says God does not sleep or slumber. Never thought I'd get a chance in my life. When we went to Kenya, one of the things that we did as we went around Nairobi is we got to visit a number of different temples that were there, some Hindu temples. Go in and talk with the people and spend some time with them. I actually got to go to a Hare Krishna temple. Now, I want to let you know that they're not the crazy people that we think about in the airports or that we used to think about in the airports. I'm not sure that they're still in airports anymore. I don't travel by plane too much. But we got to go to the Hare Krishna temple. And as we walked in, the lady says, oh, it's great that you're here right at this time. And we're like, okay. She says, we're getting ready to wake the gods. I'm like, you're getting ready to do what? Well, the gods go to sleep during lunch. And after lunch, we have a worship service to wake the gods. And all of us stood there like, you're doing what? Well, we're not really waking the gods, but we're practicing what we're going to do for all eternity. And my thought was back to this psalm. I'm glad that my God doesn't slumber and doesn't sleep. I'm not sure that's the kind of God I want to serve. Hey, I got to wake my God up so my God can take care of me, protect me, watch over me. It was a beautiful ceremony. Trust me, it was a beautiful ceremony. But I don't want to be part of a religion that every day at lunch, after lunch, you got to wake the gods up. I like what it says here, and it says that God does not slumber. God does not sleep. God watches over you the whole way. That's a powerful image to me. The psalm was a psalm a song that the pilgrims shared on the journey together as they moved closer to God. A song that they sang together as they journeyed together, coming closer to that place that they considered to be the very presence of God, the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the great and wonderful thing for us is that God's presence is with us wherever we go. Amen? God was with each and every one of us as we got up this morning before the sun. I trust that you did, because you're here. We're going to find out who didn't set their clocks back here in about 10 minutes. Yes, not back. Set them up. I'm sorry. We got that confused on Wednesday night, and I'm confusing that now, too. Folks, God wants to walk a journey with us. God's not asking us to sit still. And as we walk along that journey with one another, we need to be in song. We need to be singing. And for those of you that say, I can't sing, join in together anyway. Join in together anyway, even if you can't sing. It doesn't matter. It's about singing together the journey that God has for you. It's about singing together in a way that we're supporting and encouraging one another. It's about singing together this journey that we're on, not that we're stopping from. It's about singing together and supporting one another so that we continue to move on in the journey that God has for us. Folks, I'm glad that this Christian life is a journey. I'm glad and I'm excited that it's a journey. I'm glad that there's open doors in front of me that God is going to continue to teach me new things. God is going to continue to show me new things. What I'm asking you to think about is your Christian life a journey? Is your Christian life a journey? Or have you already arrived? I will be forever thankful to my friends in Kenya who taught me the destination's not important. You see, some of you would enjoy to live in Kenya, I know. Because you're allowed to be 2 hours late to any meeting. And it's perfectly acceptable. Perfectly acceptable. Sat down for lunch one day with the family that I was staying with for a weekend. He was on the school board. And I said, Charles, he told us, well, I can't spend the afternoon with you. I'm so sorry about that. He said, I got a school board meeting this afternoon. Now, we sat down for lunch at 2 o'clock, which is a typical time for lunch there in their country. And I said, Charles, what time is the meeting? He said, 2 o'clock. He did not have a car. He had to walk to go to the meeting, and it was a few miles from where we were. And I asked him, I said, Charles, I said, so in my country, if you're 5 minutes early, that's perfectly acceptable. And if you're 10 minutes late, sometimes that's not acceptable because you made everybody else wait. And I'm like, what is it in your country since you're allowed to be 2 hours late? And he says, oh, it's best to be the last person there. And that's when I realized something didn't translate right as he and I were talking, even though we were both speaking English. I said, what do you mean it's best to be the last person there? He said, well, then you don't have to wait for the meeting to start. But in actuality, that was how everybody there in that country felt. You want to know why? That's what I want to tell you is why. Because as you walk along the way going places, you don't just wave to somebody, hey, and keep going. You stop for 10 or 15 minutes and you talk to this person you just saw. And you walk along a little bit further and you come across somebody else and you stop for 10 or 15 minutes and you talk to this person. And the next person you meet, the same way. You see, it wasn't about getting to the destination. It was about the journey along the way. It was about the excitement along the way. And I can only imagine as people were singing this song together, Psalm 121, as they were traveling to Jerusalem, and as they sung this song together, what they learned about each other as they traveled together. What they come to find out about each other. How they were excited about one another. You see, it's about journey. So I'm going to leave you with really two questions, because I couldn't leave the second one off. I tried. Is your spiritual life an ongoing process or journey of daily growing in your faith? Is your spiritual journey an ongoing process, your spiritual life an ongoing process or journey of daily growing in your faith? And if so, here's what I want to know. What song do you sing? What song do you sing as you travel along? Came into work the other day and I didn't even realize I was doing it. I walked in singing. And pretty much after I got past the door and getting ready to walk in the office, I realized I was singing. And I walked into the office and Jan looked at me. She says, "Oh no, keep on. You want to know what I was singing, don't you?" Very old song. Well, maybe not an old song for some of you. If you tell me you know it, you're going to tell me what age you're from. It was from my high school days. And the song was, "Jesus is just all right with me." Anybody know who did that? Doobie Brothers. "Jesus is just all right with me." And I walked up the sidewalk singing that. Didn't even know I was doing it till I was almost in the office and Jan said, "Oh no, don't stop. Sounds good." What song are you singing on the journey? What's capturing your heart as you move forward in your spiritual walk? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning because we do need you. We recognize and we understand that the pilgrims on the journey, they sang quite a bit. They sang to encourage one another. They sang to keep their focus. They sang because they knew it was a continuing, ongoing process. And Lord, sometimes we forget that about our spiritual lives. We truly do forget that it's an ongoing process. So Lord, renew that within us. Renew it within us in a way that we will not be satisfied where we are at the moment, but that we will want to continue further and further down this spiritual path and journey that you've called us to. And that as we meet those along that path and journey, that we would stop and pray with them, that we'd share our stories with them, that we would share what we have learned about you on the way. Lord, may we truly move out of this church today and be people on the way towards the heavenly kingdom. But on the way and talking with people about Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.